Gay Noimna, Nino Nisha Bit Panashwe Shehajinde Noji. I'm Elizabeth Panashwe from Labrador.
Nino Tedes Andrew.
Nino and Pinamen Pokwe Shehajin Noji.
And my name is Rose Greycroft from Shehajit. I am going to be doing the interpreting for these three women.
And just wanted to first begin by thanking you all for being here. I know it's a long way that you had to come from your homes, and at times it's very difficult to leave your homes behind. But in order to spread the story and so that people are aware of the injustices that are committed in this country, we have to leave the place that we call home. So thank you very much. So thank you for the translation as well. I apologize, I don't speak any words of Innu, but I do thank you for translating. And I wanted to ask the question of the role of women in Inuit community. What is the position that women take in the organizing? And
I don't know. Questions to talk about. I mean, if you talk about school, you want to talk about. I mean, now we see what the school is about. I mean, now what's the same old noise?
Just when you start talking about school, just now, don't say you don't talk about school. But school, that's why you don't just be hard to get paid. You don't talk about school. Just now, we mean means born yet. Just when you don't just. And you still want to see.
Elizabeth is saying that she wants to apologize to women who are going to be listening here today. She wants to apologize for them because she haven't really done any more traveling lately, or she haven't had said much about what's been happening in her community. But as of today, she said there are women in the community, including herself, who have still struggling with a lot of things in her community, but she hasn't given up. In her community, she says she hasn't really, like she said, given up, and she always tries to organize meetings for women to get together. She haven't really succeeded in getting a lot of women to come to the meeting. You know, she's still trying. You know, sometimes she have it in her tent, or sometimes she just goes to use one of the offices in the community, tries to have a meeting, you know. Over here in Filomena, she does the circle, healing circle, in her tent, you know, once a week on Tuesdays. And maybe I'll give Teresa a chance to speak to her if she wants to. The role of a woman, she said, is very, very difficult in the community. Not only in the community, but everywhere. Women's job is very difficult, whatever it is. Clothing, childcare, cooking at home, trying to make things to sell, to buy things for her family, that's what she's saying. She makes traditional tea dolls at home. She teaches her grandchildren how to do the tea dolls. And the reason why she's doing that, because she makes a little bit of money for that, to support her family. And she also does it to show her grandchildren or other kids. She does it in school sometimes, to show children how to make things, how to make crafts, so they will not be losing their culture and their traditions. So that's what she's been doing. Last year, I think she had a job at school to work so many hours in school to teach different grades of girls to make traditional dolls and to make moccasins, to make whatever, you know. It's been used in, when she was a little girl, she was taught, and now she's teaching children. So when they make their crafts, when they learn how to do these things in their own traditional way, so they can be proud of who they are, they can be proud of their culture, you know, that's what she's doing. I work as a counselor, and she works as an elder, but also as, you know, to teach families. This is not children, this is a family that she's working with, you know. I do the counseling part, she's the elder in that family program. I have to stop her because I keep forgetting all the stuff they're talking about. Was she talking about? This is Aunt Philomena Pokwe. Like I told you, she's been used as one of the elders in that family program. People go to the family treatment. It's a day program where they take, I think, 5 or 6 families at a time. And what they do, the people from the community who are trained to do that, these are my people, do the programming, and she's involved. And her role is support the people, and her role is also to take people out in the bush for grieving, for circles. And when they're out in the bush, people think about their parents, their brother and sister that have died, and they do the grieving out in the bush. And they see how much land has been destroyed around them, you know. When that happens, when you're out in the woods and it seems like you wake up, you know, to be strong, you know, to protect your rights, you know. And that's what's happening with people, because there's a lot of problems in our community with drinking, people drinking, alcoholism, suicide, drugs, sexual abuse, you know, among our people. And a lot of our people have spent time in jail, and we know now that jailing is no good to them, so we're working also on very slowly to work with the court system, to make the government, the judge, and the people that are involved in the court to make them understand, you know, putting people in jail is not good for the people, it's not good for the community, it's not good for the families, you know. People go in jail and they just sit around, they don't do anything, and they get more angry, and when they get out, they repeat of what they did, you know. So that's what we're trying to do, is going very slowly, like I said, because of funding, you know. It's been really hard to try to get money from the government to get the right kind of programs, what we want. What we want would be good for our communities, but they always look at it that this is what you should do, you know. It's not good. It's got to come from our own from our own, from the community, what we want. What the government, what white people want for our community, it doesn't work. It's never going to work. It's got to come from either me or her and her, you know. There's tons and tons of problems in our community. We had a hard time coming here with funding, you know. There was supposed to be another woman with us, but she couldn't get funding to come here. It's always like that with women. Women who were trying to do for the environment, who were trying to protect their rights. It's always hard to get funding in our community. I'm sure it's like that everywhere in across Canada here in Native community.
It's hard always for women's programs to receive the funding, but when it's Native women who need funding, it's even harder. Women have the role in many communities of fighting to preserve that way of their people, because that's the only way that the culture will survive and the people will survive and go on.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes work that is seen as a craft or something that can be put on a shelf to be bought has much more meaning than that. It has a meaning of the preservation of a people and a way of life.
Yeah. If she's the one that does crafts all the time, she does beautiful work, she can make anything. She's never went to school. She's got no education, and she don't either. But they're very good at doing things on their own.
But their education is of a different kind.
Yeah, I'm sure if she was, you know, she probably got 5 years of master's.
Yes.
You know, in her own education, you know, which is her life when she was growing up, you know, out in the bush and learning from her parents, you know, and now teaching her children and other kids. Same way with her and Elizabeth too. But that me, I don't know how to do anything in my culture. Because I went to school, what I know I can also use it to help my people, you know. Elizabeth is saying that she, back in the spring, she goes walking up to Milipi Lake. She traveled by foot. And she does that every year for 5 years now. In springtime, she walks about a month on the Tuminipi Lake, so sort of like she invites people to go with her, especially from the community and other Native communities around Quebec North Shore. And she have young people with her too. And in the summertime, she goes paddling 6 years now from Church Falls. And I think she travels for 2 weeks on paddling. It's to as far as Gull Island, the Lower Churchill. That's the one that the government is trying to dam that Gull Island for hydro.
Mm-hmm.
So she does that, you know, it's like, you know, again to show people, to show the government that she is using, you know, and she's trying to protect it, you know. Along with a few people with her, you know. Everything in the environment, the animals and everything, you know, around that area. Because it's been really, really bad. We see signs up on there. I've never went paddling with her. She said, she tells me that there's signs up along the way there that says you can't eat fish here because of mercury, you know. So you have to be very careful what
And
we can't even drink the water. We have to get water by a brook. It's coming out from like in the woods there. She's trying to set up an office for women to use in the community. She got a little building beside her house, because it's been really hard to try to get a fax machine, try to get a computer for her, and she have to learn to use that. You know. And Elizabeth is also writing a book, but she hasn't finished it, haven't found some help. I think her daughter is translating her work. Sometimes we have a hard time finding a place for her to like to have a little meeting or something, because hardly she doesn't get much support from the community, you know, because of the way she is, always talking about things, you know, and trying to help people understand about what's happening in her community, you know. And she doesn't, sometimes it's really hard for her. Her papers comes into the Indonesian office, and sometimes she doesn't see it right away, like people from outside. So she got her own fax machine now. She bought a second-hand one, which is good, and she got a little room there that she can use for whatever she wants to do. For
I just wanted to ask one last question. How has it been, the response from the elders are really involved in the organizing. What about the youth, the young boys and girls, the children?
She takes some young people, like I said to you, when she goes paddling. And when she goes on that walk with some young people with her, and they really enjoy that. And we have a treatment center, it's just a treatment center for youth. And a couple of times now she was asked to take a couple of kids, young people with her when she goes paddling or when she goes walking. And now she's involving some people from an elder from Davisonet. Went very well with her walk. Or paddling from Churchill Falls to Lower Churchill.
She was
5 young people with her when she was paddling. The youngest one is about 6 years old. She's also saying that she finds the government people, you know, doing too much to her people, too much damaging not only the land, but damaging the people too, the young people and the people in the community. It's got they're doing the developments in our communities, like the Voices Bay is already gone ahead. And now they're talking about Lower Churchill and other areas, damming other areas of the further up north. And then the wood cutting business, you know. And then the low level flying is still, you know. It's too much and we don't have time to handle everything, you know. It's only few women who are involved. And now they're talking about extending the bombing range, you know. And it's already, they're going to go ahead on the 15th to cut the brush there so there'll be more room for them to drop bombs in that area. That's where she walks every spring. There's been so many, I don't know if it's talked about, there's been so many jets being crashed in our area. Not near, but one time when she was out in the bush with her family, she was asked to come back to the community because she was told that she could not pick berries around there because of the plane crash, jet crash near her, where she was out in the country. So really scared people, you know. So not only in that area, there's been so many, you know. But we don't even know how much damage has been done when the jet crashed on the ground, you know. How much? Nobody told us. They will never know.
And the government never does anything.
No. I don't know what the government thinks, you know. They treat the native communities, places, you know, as if there's no one there, you know. We're people and we're very much alive, you know, when we're not stupid, you know. Our great grandparents might have been, they were not able to speak English, they were not able to communicate with government people, they were able to communicate with the priest because he was there to learn the language and he was there to try to help the people. Maybe he thought he helped them, but he helped them in the wrong way, you know. He didn't do much for the community, you know, only damage. Same way with the government right now, you know. They probably think handling over $1 million, you're doing good, you know. And some people who need money, who need job things, that's good. I have money. But where the problem is, young people committing suicide, too much drinking, too much drugs in our community, that's not good. We know that. But how do we stop it? But we're not, like I said, giving up. She said, we're going to try to do, you know, speak about it.
Yes. Yeah. And I think in your own ways, you're doing something about mm-hmm. stopping it by healing and counseling
yep.
and teaching
yep.
the arts and the old ways.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Just like here, we came here, this Ottawa area, this morning. This is her first time in Toronto. You know, and we saw a couple of, I don't know whether they're women or men, just falling asleep on the street. It's hard for her to, you know, she couldn't believe it. It shocked her and her too, you know. And the woman told us, these people are homeless. Why are they homeless? There's so much money on the go. Why can't they help these people find homes for them, you know? No wonder people are doing too much drugs because they don't think much of themselves. Nobody wants them. Mm-hmm. You know, government is not helping them. The only time they need people is everywhere, is election time. After that, they forget about you. And we're talking about human beings everywhere, not only in Chehati, here in Toronto. You know, these are people that God create, you know. This is life. Mm-hmm.